All right, welcome to episode 52 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura. We got my co-host to the right, Mr. Caleb Conant. Caleb, how are you doing this fine Mother's Day, May 9th?
I'm great. Shout out to all the mothers. Shout out to my mom. You feel me? How you doing, man? How's everybody else doing?
Everybody else is doing good right now. I've had a great, great weekend, and I am excited to jump into this episode. Now, before we get into this episode, this is actually nearing our one-year anniversary of Caleb and I starting this podcast. We had our very first episode of May 8th last year, and here we are, 52 episodes in, May 9th, 2021. And for this special occasion, we have brought on not one, not two, but three very special guests here on this episode 52 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I'll first bring in our first two guests. These two guests are from Unwrapped Sports Network's very own Backstop Banner, Anthony Conover and Michael Lawson. I'll start off with you, Anthony. How are you doing this fine Mother's Day?
I'm doing great. You introduced me first, the more important one of that duo that you just said. So I'm doing real good, and, you know, excited to finally get on the show. But yeah, excited to jump into some topics here.
I'm excited as well. What about you, Michael? How are you doing this fine Mother's Day?
Doing well, thank you for asking. Thanks again for having on the show. Did my duties as far as cooking today for my lovely wife, the mother of my three children. You know, we went out to a sit-down restaurant, and you know, I took the debit card and paid for it. You know, did very good cooking the meal. Everyone was very satisfied, so A plus for me.
That's fantastic to hear, Michael. And our final special guest that we were bringing on is Caleb Conant's cousin, Mr. Wesley Conant. Wesley, how are you doing this fine Mother's Day?
I'm good. Shout out to my mom. My mom isn't here either, so I just kind of worked, washed clothes, got ready. It was a normal Sunday for me. I go back to the school to work at the school tomorrow, so it was a normal Sunday.
Let them know where they can find your podcast out, Cass.
Oh, yeah, you can find me at Don't Stop to Get Enough podcast. Me and Caleb have one together. I got one with his dad. I got one with our other cousin who has a wrestling podcast called TH That Hashtag on YouTube.
That's fantastic to hear. And for the listeners of this episode, Anthony and Michael, where can the listeners find Backstop Banter?
Listen, Backstop Banter is available wherever you listen to podcasts. So, you want to know everything about the baseball world, me and Michael always breaking it down Thursdays. We go live Thursdays, YouTube, Twitch, all that, 10 Eastern, and then we make it into a podcast as well. So wherever you listen to a podcast, we got you.
All right. And with that being said, let's get into today's episode. And the topics that we have to discuss are a lot of variety of topics. We are first going to discuss the NFL draft, kind of give our winners and losers, see who won the draft, who lost the draft. We'll then discuss my man Aaron Rodgers. I'm pretty sure all you guys have heard all the news circulating around him, whether he'll be in Green Bay, whether he'll be on another team this upcoming season. We'll break it down for you guys. And then we'll also give a big picture of the current NBA playoff picture, how the matchups are going to look and who's going to be in the play-in tournament. And then we'll close it out, of course, with discussing the recent MLB news, MLB standings that have gone down so far as of May 9th, 2021, with a lot of baseball experts on this episode. With that being said, let's kickstart right into the NFL draft. Obviously, as many of you guys know, the NFL draft has came and went. So I'll first bring it up to my co-host, Caleb. Caleb, who do you believe is a winner in this draft and a loser in this draft?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a great question, actually. I'm going to have to go with the winner. I'm going to have to go with Chicago. I'm going to have to go with Chicago just because they made that trade and got Fields. I don't think they weren't going to get Fields if they waited where they were. And they definitely weren't going to get a quarterback in free agency. They didn't get a quarterback in free agency. They were going to head into the season with Andy Dalton. So I think them getting Justin Fields ultimately put them at the top of my list. Although they did give up a lot, it's okay. I think it'll pay off for them. As far as a loser, bro, I'm going to have to go with the Lions just because I felt like they should have drafted a playmaker, like maybe a Devontae Smith or a quarterback. Maybe they should have went with Fields. I don't think that Goff is the guy. I don't know if they think that Goff is the guy, but I think that they should have got a playmaker, and them going with Penei Sewell is not a bad selection. I'm sure he is obviously the best lineman in the draft, but I think they should have went with a playmaking guy they could get.
Definitely good points there. I'll then leave that next same question to you, Wesley. Wesley, who do you believe is a big winner in the NFL draft and a big loser in the NFL draft?
I think Jacksonville was the biggest winner in the NFL because they got the quarterback. They got Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, they always have good defense. They needed a quarterback to build it, and that's what they needed. So I think that was smart for them to go after a quarterback, the first pick. And I think my 49ers won, too, with Trey Lance, because we needed – Jimmy Garoppolo is just – no. He's not going to – I actually want Aaron Rodgers to come for you. We're going to get a ring. We'll get a ring if we get him, because he's – right, he's but he's a Niners fan, though. You guys don't agree with that?
You had your chance to get him 16 years ago, and you decided to take Alex Smith instead. Yeah, that was stupid.
They're stupid like my Dodgers. They do the dumbest things. I don't get it. I think Trey Lance is going to be good with Deebo Samuel, because Deebo Samuel is a beast. He ran over your safety in the NFC Championship. That dude is a beast. So with Trey Lance, he's a beast. So with Trey Lance on an offense, with all those running backs we got, that was a good pickup. I'm going to go with Caleb, though. The Lions, Jeff Goff. Goff is just the worst quarter. He wasn't a good quarterback. The running back was good on the team. Gurley was what made that team and their defense. Goff is horrible. You saw when they don't have Gurley, he can't do anything. That's why they didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That was a dumb move. The Lions lost tremendously. They're done. It's over for them. That's it. It's over. They're not gonna do anything. He's gonna play in the NFC North, so he's gotta go play in Green Bay, he's gotta go play in Chicago.
Starting their rebuild process, in other words.
He's not a good person to build with.
No, you might not be wrong there.
Yeah, you might. He's not a good person to build with. Yeah, you might not be wrong there. Those are some good points being made. Let's move on to our next special guest, Anthony Conover. Anthony, who do you believe is a big winner in the NFL draft and a big loser in the NFL draft as well?
Listen, I think that if you look at it and don't say the Chargers, you're kind of wrong. They got – you know, their tackle at 13, who a lot of people had being the best on the board. They needed it. Now you're protecting Herbert even more. They got the best safety – or safety. They got the best center in free agency. They pair that with a tackle. You know, they have all of their defense coming back. They have all of their offense coming back. They're big winners in there. And they also got Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round. Some people could have thought he could have gone in the first. Probably still – but, you know, great value in the second round. So I think that they did a great job. And listen, I will be the first one to talk bad about New York football teams, even though I'm from here. But both of them actually did pretty well. They actually did pretty good. The Jets getting I can't think of the quarterback's name now.
Zach Wilson.
Yes, Zach Wilson. Man looks like he's 12, but it's okay. They get Zach Wilson. They trade up for Elijah Vera Tucker, so they're going to protect him. And then the Giants, they got a playmaker. They got, you know, they traded back and still got, I believe, another first-round pick for next year, so they did good. And then I think the easy loser is the Raiders. I think a lot of people can agree with that one as well, is that every single draft pick they made, they could have gotten them in the later round. Like, literally every single person they picked, they could have gotten in the round after. So, a little interesting what they did, but hey, John Gruden has like 7 years and $80 million more to collect on, so I'm sure he's sleeping just fine.
Yeah, he's probably sleeping well. He probably thinks he's the next Gruden grinder.
Cheap, he counts millions.
And then lastly, I want to go to you, Michael. Who do you believe is a big winner in the NFL draft? And also, who do you believe is a big loser
in this? I'm going to go with big winner and loser, but not the biggest or the on either or, just because, you know, everyone's already mentioned some things, but teams here. But I'm going to go with someone that might be kind of under the radar on this. I really like what the Browns did in this draft. They've got a great offensive team, of course, with everyone they have. But they focus on the first two rounds going defense with Greg Newsom, the cornerback at the 26th pick. And I really like the way they're setting themselves up as far as their defense, because that's where they really need to focus on. And they did that even later in the rounds as well. That would probably be my win that I kind of feel like everyone's going to overlook a little bit. And they're so close to being a good team already. Now, as far as a loser, again, I'm not going to go with the biggest loser. It's just, I want to say not only the draft, just kind of what is going to go forward from here is the Saints. You know, they took two defense, or actually I'm looking at their picks here. And actually the first three rounds were defense, which is good. Of course, everyone needs a defense, but without Drew Brees, like, what's his team going to be?
I don't mean to stop you, but I mean to stop you. I understand you, but look at where we were positioned this year to get where our pick was. We didn't have a chance to really get a quarterback in the first round. That was
or the second or the third or the fourth. I think y'all waited to like the fifth round and took Cook, though.
Book.
I'm sorry. Book. Sorry. Cook was the tight end that they let go. Yes, Book. I don't know. I just kind of feel like, personally, I'm trying to look through here as I talk to you a little bit to find
Jameis Winston for the win.
I mean, do we really want to put everything on him? He did just get let go from his 30 for 30 season there and went to a backup role. So now is this him taking over? I don't know. I just don't trust him there. That's why I'm kind of hesitant. And again, I'm not saying the biggest losers or anything like that. I'm just, these are my dark horse fads, I guess, if you will. I don't see a good future, a long future for the Saints team with the weapons that they have on offense.
I hear you. But let's talk about Winston real quick.
Oh, here we go.
30-30 with Tampa Bay, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand. Now you got Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. You feel me? Sean Payton, a coach that I trust just by mm-hmm. Seeing what he did with Drew Brees. I think he's a solid coach. You feel me? He worked good with Teddy. Teddy was very successful mm-hmm. When Drew went down. Even Tyson became somebody. So I think Winston has a chance with the weapons that the Saints do have on offense, with Thomas and Kamara, and we have a solid little line. With the weapons that we do have, I think he could turn his season. And I'm not saying he could be a fucking MVP, but
definitely having the better weapons like that. I mean,
16
Mike Evans. I mean, you know, having like Mike Evans on his team. Oh wait, he did have Mike Evans, and he still threw 30 interceptions.
Here's the difference:
two different calibers. All
right, but hold on. Let me kill your vibe even more right now, bro. This man Drew Brees goes down, and they tag in my man Taysom Hill to be the starting quarterback instead mm-hmm. of Jameis. That's how you know he's got to be hot garbage.
But
I understand, but let's talk about this. Taysom Hill was able to play whatever. How many games did Drew Brees miss? Like six?
There was something in that range. Yeah, 4 to 6.
When we talk about a 17-game, 16-game season, you mm-hmm. got to have a guy who could throw the deep ball. Tyson can't throw the deep ball, so we could throw that shit out the window right now.
Neither can Drew Brees.
The only guy that could throw the deep ball, we could work off of a play action and probably get somebody deep. And not to mention, our receiving core is totally fucked anyway. So that's that's probably I understand what you're saying, but I think we need a quarterback who could throw the ball, and I think that's why Winston. You know.
Well, he definitely can throw it.
Yeah,
here's what I will say to try and help out my boy Winston. That man got LASIK eye surgery. This is a different Jameis Winston. He might see the field better and might not throw it to the other team. And we saw him throw the deep ball well in the playoffs. Look at the play action play that they went up against Tampa, where it was a flicker pass thing. Jameis threw it perfectly to Smith for a touchdown. That's when, and I guess in a way, we kind of saw the transition of Brees to Winston. It also helped when Brees said to Winston, basically, this is your team. But I do like your point, Michael.
I hope he does well. Don't get me wrong. I hope he does.
See, good. I hope he doesn't do well, because I bet Caleb $200 that not you, the other Caleb, you know, USN, of course. I bet him $200 that Jameis would never win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. So I can't have you do too well. I'm sorry there, guy.
Yeah, maybe have him make the Super Bowl, Anthony. But
yeah, they can make it. I don't care. But as long as they just have to get blown out, I don't need no stress on my heart like that.
Yeah, we don't want that.
He's already stressed enough. Look at me.
Not with Sean Payton. Like, it's kind of like, you know, I'm a Niner fan. So Bill Walsh won 4 with Montana. He didn't win when he was with Steve Young. They had to get another coach. I mean, Peyton is used to playing with Drew Brees. That's why they've been winning. So it's going to be hard for him to adjust. He's going to retire before he can adjust to winning with a new quarterback.
But that's not even a question because he can obviously adjust with any quarterback. You see how Drew Brees went down. Teddy Bridgewater.
He's going to adjust, but it's not going to be enough.
And got $100 million contract. He's able to adjust.
He's going to adjust, but it's just like we would go to the NFC Championship, but we didn't have enough to get to the Super Bowl with Bill Walsh and Steve Young. And I think Steve Young is better than Montana, to be honest with you. But we got George Seifert. Okay. I'm a 49er fan. If I turn my thing around, it's my 49er wall. But I got my Michael Jackson wallet. But I'm a 49er fan. But I will tell you, Steve Young is better than Montana athletically.
Hell yeah.
Southpaw.
Yeah. The quarterback, I would pick Steve Young before I'd pick Montana. But Bill Walsh was used to working with Montana. So I think that's what happened. Peyton is used to the Drew Brees style. It's good. By the time he adjusts, he's going to retire. Somebody else is going to come in. They'll probably win then, but they're not going to win with Peyton and a new quarterback. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens with the Saints there. Overall, great points. I'll throw in some of my winners and losers. One of my winners that I have in the NFL draft, this may be an interesting take, but I got the Baltimore Ravens as one of my winners. The reason being is with their first two picks, they addressed team needs. They recently lost, Matthew Judon in the offseason to the Patriots. And what do they do with the first two round picks? They selected a great receiver out of Minnesota, Rashad Bateman, giving Lamar Jackson a weapon. And they drafted the edge out of Penn State, Odafe Owe. Overall, I felt like those picks are going to instantly help the Ravens. And I feel like now for the Ravens, if you're Lamar Jackson, he now has a playoff win under his belt. He no longer has the monkey of not doing well in the playoffs. He finally has the playoff win. Now it's, can he get over the hump? And as the famous Anthony Conover said, Anthony already said Lamar has reached his peak with him winning the MVP. Picks that the Ravens have made, this is going to really, in my opinion, make or break how Lamar Jackson is going to be with the Ravens. Because you look at the AFC North is going to be competitive. We just saw what the Browns did. I know Juju Smith-Schuster said the Browns is the Browns, but this is a new age Browns. This is actually a good Browns team. And you also cannot discount the fact that the Steelers are always going to be competitive. Whether or not they'll be a Super Bowl contender, when you got Mike Tomlin there, they're going to be competitive. And then you got the Ravens right there. So it's one of those where these picks are going to really decide how Lamar Jackson is going to be. How is Jim Harbaugh going to do with the Baltimore Ravens? I feel like with those picks, it's going to help them.
Browns are winning the division.
That's going to be one of the toughest divisions. The AFC North is going to be one of the toughest divisions next year. But there's going to be three teams that are going to be in it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And one of my losers that I have in this NFL draft, I feel like it has to be the Cincinnati. No, it's not the Green Bay Packers. We drafted very well. It's got to be the Cincinnati Bengals. I feel like it's the Cincinnati Bengals just because of the fact you have Penei Sewell, one of the best offensive tackle prospects in this draft, and you basically decide, nah, let's just go buddy-buddy and let's draft Ja'Marr Chase instead. You know, it's almost like, what are the Bengals doing? This is not
what you wanted to give him matching scars on his knees. Come on, bro.
I understand. I mean, if they want to go with matching scars, that's perfectly fine. But overall, it just doesn't make sense from the Cincinnati Bengals standpoint. I understand you want to go buddy-buddy, but there comes a point to where you just have to look at a team as a whole and you just want to try to win. Like this move that the Bengals have made, it's not a winning move. Now, if Joe Burrow can stay upright and everything goes well, then kudos, congratulations to them. That's going to be fantastic. But if it does not go well, then it's just going to be an utter disaster. And like Anthony mentioned, he's going to have another scar on his knee and the things are not going to be well for the Cincinnati Bengals. And with that being said, let's move on to the recent Aaron Rodgers news. Obviously, as many of you guys know, on draft day, there was a report that came out by Adam Schefter basically saying that Rodgers wants out of Green Bay and he's not going to be returning with the team. I'll first start off with Anthony on this one. Anthony, with the recent Aaron Rodgers news that has come out, do you believe that his time in Green Bay is up, or do you believe Green Bay and company will find a way to fix whatever problems they have?
Listen, if it's up is one problem, but let me say this before I actually get into it. Aaron Rodgers, you annoy me a little bit. You really do. Kind of a bitch. But I fucking love, and I mean love, the pettiness that he had to let it release on draft night, just like how they screwed him over last year on draft night by drafting a quarterback. Like 10 out of 10 pettiness level, you gained a little bit of respect for Aaron Rodgers. But with that being said, I mean, hey, listen, he's kind of firm in his ground that he's not coming back. How true that really is. Is he really going to sit out an entire season? Is he going to go host Jeopardy? You know, he can do whatever he wants. He's made plenty of money. I'm pretty sure he's real good. He told free agents that he wasn't going to be in Green Bay. He said that the GM was Jerry Krause. So listen, we got problems over there in Title Town, as you like to refer to it as. But if I had to put money on it, yeah, more like NFC Championship Town. If I had to put money on it, I'll say that he doesn't come back, just because I think he's got the balls to do it. I think I think a lot of people talk about not coming back and sitting out and this, that, and the third. But I don't know. I feel like the pettiness in Aaron Rodgers will actually do it. Like, the man don't talk to his family anymore. Like, that's blood. Why he care about the Packers? You know? So I'm gonna say that he leaves. I'm sorry, Matt.
All right, we'll see what happens there. I'll then hand it off to Caleb. Caleb, with the recent Aaron Rodgers news, what do you think is going to happen? Will he stay or will he go?
I think he's going to stay. They're gonna have to make a decision with when it comes to firing the GM or not. If they keep the GM, he's going to have to go. But he's going to go at a later time, because right now it would just mess up their cap space. So I think he'll stay maybe until next year if they keep the GM. If they fire the GM, he'll definitely stay. He'll get re-up, you feel me, sign the 4 years, and then they'll just have to cut their loss with Jordan Love or like keep Jordan Love and get a lot for him, because you could get a lot for Aaron Rodgers. That's a prime time guy. You get like 3 firsts for him right now. So I would just go cash out, fuck it, and just build around Love and Adams. Fuck it. Fuck it. At this point, fuck it.
Interesting take there. I'll then bring it out to Michael here. With the recent Aaron Rodgers news, Michael, do you believe he'll stay with Green Bay, or do you believe they will part ways?
It's really an up in the air on that. It could go either way, I think, 50-50. But I tell you who I think thinks that he will be leaving is the Broncos. I think their draft pick, the way they did, I think they really believe they've got a shot at getting him out of Packers or out of Green Bay there. Just going to who'd they take? I think Kurtan, the first round Sertan. There, going to quarterback. Sertan, not Kurtan.
Yeah, they took your man.
Bruce,
they took
your
man. Yes, that's who actually, well, according to some people, the Cowboys weren't even really big on him, but we won't go into that because, you know, nobody likes to talk about the Cowboys because we're just America's team and everything. But just saying, yeah, definitely being a 49ers fan, but right. I really feel like the turmoil that has been going on for years, like this is not just a new thing. I mean, you know that, of course, as a Cowboys fan, McCarthy was in Green Bay. He's out of there because of Rodgers. Now this is going on. Like, apparently, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. Like, at some point, you've got to think, okay, he's not happy about this, so we got rid of this guy. He's not happy about this, so we drafted a couple players, or we tried to do this. He's not happy over this. Maybe he's the problem, and you might want to just get rid of him. I mean, yes, he's MVP. Yes, I understand on that, but I would take the highest bid and just say, okay, we are Green Bay. Let's just go on with it. Like, I'm almost with Caleb on this. As much turmoil and headache that he's caused, let's just move on. I mean, you would want, of course, to keep him, but at some point, you just got to say, oh, well, let's just go on.
Definitely great points there. Nah. I'll, What?
I have a quick question. When they had Brett Favre, did they trade Brett Favre or did he just walk for nothing?
We traded Favre. We traded Favre to the Jets.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
worked for about a season.
Yeah, it worked for a season, but then
he found a phone that took pictures or something. I can't remember what exactly happened there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I'll then ask Wesley this same question. With the recent Aaron Rodgers news, do you think he'll stay in Green Bay and they'll work things out, or is he on his way out?
I think he's on his way out, and I think he's gonna go to the Raiders because he wants to be in the Bay Area. We're not gonna pay him. I would be mad if they gave up Trey Lance and all that for him for 1 year. He's only got about two or three more good years left. I think he's going to go to the Raiders, though. I honestly do. Because he wants to be – he's from Stockton. So he wants to be in the Bay Area. And he's a 49er fan, of course. But he wants – I think he's going to go to the Raiders. I've been hearing that. I think that's what's going to happen.
Definitely great points there. In my opinion, with the Aaron Rodgers news.
Oh, you're Homer. You know he's going to stay. That's the only thing you can say.
I feel like with the recent news leaking out, this is his final ride. This is it. This is his last year.
He badmouthed everybody, everything. He's done.
I feel like this is his final year in Green Bay, regardless of what happens, unless if somehow, some way, we'll win the Super Bowl. But that's a long shot.
He's got that State Farm stuff that he can fall back on. He is fine. He's just going to sit out.
And
Tom Brady's going back to the Super Bowl, man. I hate to tell everybody. Tom Brady's going back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, Wesley. But overall, I feel like from a team standpoint in Green Bay, you can't really release or move on from him because there's too much dead money that's available. You know, it's one of those where you can't afford to move on from him until it's after June 1st, unless if he really wants out. But overall, I feel like this is last season in Green Bay, and you know, we'll see what happens, but you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how both sides will settle this situation. So continuing on with the Aaron Rodgers news, he's staying, but this is it. This is his final ride. Whether or not whatever happens, I mean, I've stated this before and I'll state it again. Unless if we somehow win the Super Bowl this year, which I think is very hard to do, I think this is his final year. I think there's too much turmoil. Now, who knows what happens? Maybe the Packers front office will be like, you know what? We'll trade Love. We'll get something of value. We'll pull like a Garoppolo with the Patriots. We'll ship Garoppolo, get like a second round pick. Maybe we'll ship Love, get like a draft pick. And then just extend Rodgers and keep it going. But, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I also kind of want to add on to say, if Rodgers really wants to go to another team, why would he want to? Like Green Bay, in my humble opinion, granted, some people may say it's homerism. I think Green Bay is his best chance to win. Because if you look at, if he goes to Denver, are we really certain Denver is going to win? This isn't like when Denver signed Peyton Manning. The Chiefs weren't as good as they are now when Peyton Manning was there. The Chargers were not as good when Manning was there. When Manning went to the Broncos were clearly head and shoulders the best team in that division. If Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, he's not even the best team in the division. I mean, you look at the AFC West as a whole, the Chiefs, you really think the Chiefs are worse than the Broncos? Hell no. They just made it to back-to-back Super Bowls. And even you look at the Chargers are on the come up. This isn't the Chargers of the past where they had Phillip Rivers, they had Antonio Gates, they didn't really give Rivers a line, they didn't really give him a lot of weapons. No. This is a different regime with the Chargers. They've learned from their mistakes with Rivers. They're giving Justin Herbert a good offensive line. They're surrounding him with good weapons like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. They have a solid defense with Derwin James coming back. Like Anthony mentioned, them drafting Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round. This is a much different Chargers team than in years past. So if Rodgers were to go to Denver, Would it make Denver a playoff contender? Absolutely. I think if Rodgers goes to Denver, they make the playoffs. But can they be the best team in the AFC with Rodgers? I just don't think so. I think there are too many teams in the AFC that's too competitive. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, like I mentioned earlier, in your same division, you got to play twice a year. You got the Buffalo Bills in the AFC who just made it to the championship game. Connie, you might like this one. They got the New England Patriots, a revamped Patriots, might I add. Added Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry in the offseason. Cam Newton looks to be, in my opinion, going to be better entering year two of a new offense. We saw what Rodgers did when he entered in year two of Matt LaFleur's defense. He won the goddamn MVP award. Now, do I think Cam Newton will win MVP? Absolutely not. But I do believe he's going to be a lot better than he was last year. And you look at the Patriots, some of their key defensive members are coming back. They just brought back Kyle Van Noy as well. I'm not sure about Dante Hightower, but Hightower is back with Kyle Van Noy, and don't forget Gilly Lock, Stephon Gilmore, The Patriots are gonna be back. They're gonna be a team, in my opinion, that's gonna win double digit wins without a doubt, easily. I mean, if they could win seven games with half of their players opting out on defense, with Cam Newton getting COVID, and somehow they won seven games, what makes you think with the recent offseason moves that they made that they can win at least double digit games? And I just personally think of that, and I think if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, what other teams are better than Green Bay? You got Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and maybe the Rams. But other than that, there's not really a lot of teams that you could say in the NFC that could beat Green Bay, especially with Green Bay bringing back most of its roster. I mean, besides the loss of Corey Linsley, they're pretty much bringing back the whole squad that made it to the NFC Championship game last year. And Green Bay actually had a solid draft. We didn't waste our two draft picks on a third-string quarterback and a third-string tight end. No, we actually got players that could win right away. So I just look at it from that perspective and say, you know, if Rodgers really wants out and there isn't anything you could do, by all means, trade him and get whatever you want. But if there's one thing I will say to Rodgers, if you go to another team and you don't win a Super Bowl, just think what could have been. One last ride, and you had a best chance to win. And you also have to look at it from Rodgers' perspective as well. He had a chance against Tampa to win. He shit the bed, if we're being honest with you. Like, the defense gave him ample opportunity. You gave him three interceptions, and the offense shit the bed. Now, could it have been LaFleur's play calling? That could play into effect as well. That fourth down play, I will still never understand why you kick a field goal when you have Tom fucking Brady on the opposite side of the field. I'll have no idea why that happened. But they still had opportunities to win that game. You pick off the GOAT three times and you only get 6 points. You're asking God to lose that game. You're just looking up to God and be like, hey, God, I like to thank your chances, but I'm gonna just let it slip through my hands here. No thanks. So do I think Rodgers should stay? Yes, I do believe this is last year. But if he were to leave, I wouldn't be shocked. I think hopefully it'll come to a point where both sides resolve on the issue. But if both sides don't resolve, I just want to thank Rodgers for all that he's done for Green Bay. And hopefully we get a good haul, at least 2 to 3 firsts, maybe a second, maybe a player, and then just build around Jordan Love. And I also want to say to Jordan Love, you better be the real damn deal. I don't want to see no bust out on the field by preseason. I want to see why all the players have him hyped up as this next big QB prospect. So if you're Jordan Love, please live up to the hype. I'd appreciate it. And with that being said, let's move on to the current NBA playoff picture. The current NBA playoff picture is quite a scene to where we never would have thought of at the beginning of the season. I'll first name off the 10 teams so far in the play-in. Right now in the Western Conference, it goes the Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavericks, Trailblazers as the top 6 teams. And then in the play-in tournament, you got the Lakers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs out of the Western Conference. And in the Eastern Conference, you got the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks. You got the Knicks, the Hawks, the Heat as your top 6. And then your play-in tournament, you got the Boston Celtics, Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards, Indiana Pacers. Now, with that in mind, in the playoff season coming to a close, I'll first start off by asking Michael this question. What team do you believe so far, with all these standings, 1 through 10, including the play-in tournament, which team kind of shocks you the most, whether they're higher than you expected or have just been disappointing and lower than you've expected?
I will say, excuse me, the most disappointing team in my own eyes is actually the Dallas Mavericks. From preseason, I had them actually being a Luka MVP. Really thought they'd make a push. I wouldn't say that they'd make it to the finals, but I at least thought they would be better than what they are. Right now, they are a 5 seed, so, I mean, they're not too far off, but it's been a really crappy season for them. Like, they're always been at that 8th, 9th, 10th, and they have started winning some here lately. But those close games, they still seem to have a hard time finding a way to win. And the unicorn hasn't really panned out like we thought he was going to with Dallas. And now there's even some talk that Luka and Porzingis are not getting along too well. So who knows exactly how that's really going to pan out as well. So that would probably be my biggest surprise as far as what's going on right now. I would want to say the Lakers, just because they're like possibly the 7th or 8th seed if they win the play-in game at this very moment in time. But the Lakers have been hurt, so I'm going to give them that. Like, a lot of people, you know how media is going to be. If the Lakers don't make the playoffs somehow, it's going to be like, oh, LeBron's done, Michael Jordan's the greatest. But they've been hurt. Like, we have to be fair to them. They've been hurt. They can't play without them. So, I mean, LeBron and AD is this team, and both players have been out. So you can't really scold them too much for that. Now, as far as surprise on the other end, you have to go with both Utah and Phoenix. Like, no one thought that they'd be up 1 and 2 in the West. Everyone thought it would be the Lakers or the Clippers or even Portland would be up those high spots. But you have Phoenix Suns and Utah Jazz. And what kills me most is, I was just on the Count the Bucket yesterday talking some basketball stuff, is Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Mitchell, none of these three are in the top five in the MVP talks whatsoever. Like, we always say the MVP always goes to one of the winning team's best player. The number one and number two players or teams with their players are not even in the conversation in the top three or top four. Like, they may be in the top 10. I can't remember what exactly it is, but they should be up there. Like, there's no love for the Jazz and there's no love for the Suns. We're still getting Pelican games on NBA and TNT and ESPN. Like, Zion is now hurt for the rest of the season. We wouldn't go into that, but the Pelican games are still going to be on there. Like, do justice to the number one and number two team overall. Now, also, if we go over to the East, I could talk a little bit with NBA, but I'll try to be brief with it. Boston, I think, is a big shock how far back they are. You know, we had them from last year in the games that they played in the tournament against Toronto. Almost was like a turning stone for them to say, okay, this is the real deal team. But again, injuries, COVID, and everything else kind of hindered them as well. I absolutely love that the Knicks are relevant again. Shout out to Tom Thibodeau, who was fired last year and now has turned a team in the Knicks who no one wanted to go to actually have them back being relevant. So, Coach of the Year in my book for this year. And I'll leave it at that.
Definitely great points there. I think in my opinion, Stephen A. is basically bowing down to Tom Thibodeau, basically thanking him for the Knicks being relevant, because it always seems like every time on First Take, Stephen A. always has a happier side because his Knicks are doing good. Normally at this time of the season, you would see Stephen A. ranting about how bad the Knicks are, how James Dolan should sell the team. I mean, James Dolan should still sell the team, for being honest here, but Stephen A. just seems more of a happy guy, and it's all because of the New York Knicks being good, which is always a great thing to see. I'll then ask that same question to my co-host and Caleb. Caleb, after me mentioning all the standings, 1 through 6 and the play-in tournament, which teams are kind of shocking to you, whether they're exceeding expectations or just flat out disappointing?
Well, you know, I'm going to start in the East with Boston. I thought they were going to be a lot better this year. And I mean, I think Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, I think they should be a lot better as far as, I mean, competing with Philly and Brooklyn and Milwaukee. I think Boston should be in that top four to be competing with them. So they really disappointed me. I'll go with another actually, I'll go with a surprise on the good side in the East. Going back to my earlier episodes, when I was talking about Atlanta, I said they would be around a 4 and a 5 seed, and that's exactly where they are. They surprised me. I didn't think they would do that well because they were kind of hurt as well, and they don't get any TV time. So I want to see more Atlanta Hawks on TNT and ESPN, because out here in Cali, we do not catch Trae Young. We see a lot of Steph Curry. And don't get me wrong, Steph Curry's had an amazing MVP season as well. But my surprise on the East is going to be Atlanta. My disappointing surprise is going to be Boston. Now, going to the West, I'm not even going to talk about my Lakers because, like Michael said, we're hurt. It's obvious. If we had LeBron and AD, we'd definitely be top three at least. So I'm not going to talk about my Lakers. But on the disappointing side, I'm disappointed. I'm really not even disappointed with anybody on the West, to be honest. Because we got Golden State at the 8th seed. Memphis is still in here.
You don't think you're disappointed with the New Orleans?
Nah, I'm not. They don't have it yet. They don't have it yet. And, I mean, if you look at the Spurs, bro, that you just have to. I would. You're right, Matt. I would be disappointed with the Pelican, but let's just praise Greg Popovich real quick. To even have the Spurs competing in a play-in game right now is fucking legit, bro. Because they have one guy on their team that everybody probably knows, and that's DeMar DeRozan. And I mean, to do that in the West, I gotta give it up to Greg for that. Surprising me in the West is Utah. We gotta give it up to them. They had the best season. Mitchell's playing out of his mind. Nobody, I feel like, is watching him. But Utah. Period. I can't say anything else. Like, they seem like to be the biggest threat. Like, they have Mitchell, Conley. They have a bench. I got to give it to Utah. They surprised me on the good end.
Definitely great points mentioned, Caleb. I'll then want to ask that same question to Wesley. Wesley, after me naming all the standings 1 through 10, which teams do you believe have either shocked you in a good way or have disappointed you in a bad way?
The Jazz shocked me. I didn't think they were going to be in the top three like they are. Of course, the Lakers did. I mean, but they disappointed me when they signed LeBron. So, I knew this was coming. He got his ring. He's done. He's not going to he's hurt, but that's disappointing to be almost not even in the playoffs after winning last year. Yeah. But, what can you do? And I think the Nets are going to take it.
All right. We already got a bold prediction. Wes says the Nets winning it all this year.
I think KD is going to take it. I think Kevin Durant, I think they're going to take it.
Are you banking on Harden being ready and healthy to go by playoff time?
I think he'll come in the middle, but I think they're just dangerous. I don't see Philadelphia beating them because I think it's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be them in Philadelphia. I don't see Philly beating them. I don't see any of those West top three teams beating them either.
And one thing I want to say about your Brooklyn Nets: say if the Nets play the Bucks in the second round, which is a possibility, if the Nets were to lose to the Bucks in 6 or 7 games, would it be a disappointment of a season just because they went all in and failed to make it to the conference finals?
No, yeah. Because they're still jelly.
They're still bugging. What?
You're bugging. You're wilding right now, bro. You got to at least make the conference finals. You're wilding.
Let's hear Wesley's case. Wesley, what makes you think that it wouldn't be a failure of the season if they were to lose in the second round to Milwaukee?
It would be a failure, but I mean, they're still. I mean, it would be a failure. They can't lose. They got to get at least to the. He said they at least got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals with a team like that.
They got to get to the finals.
Wes, I'll back you up here. I don't think it'd be a loss on two things if they lose there. If they lose to the Bucks and the Bucks make it to the finals, I think it's okay. But also this, hear me out. They have only played 7 games together. The big three at there, Harden, KD, and Kyrie have only played 7 games together.
Don't care.
And that's what I said. They haven't gelled all the way yet. So if they lose to the Bucks are a little more gelled. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be a loss.
But now, will the media go crazy about it? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Just like they're going crazy about the Lakers right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they should absolutely.
But I told the Lakers don't sign LeBron. And so, hell.
They should be healthy with the team they have. But I must say, if we just go back, let's look at the Nets recently. This past week or two, they've been losing to competitive teams without Harden. They've been losing.
No, Harden's a gel low key.
Yeah, no low key.
And you get him back if you don't make the conference finals.
Yeah,
that's a fat L.
Guys, I'm just going to say this. I know this is not going to be the videos, but, you know, it's Mother's Day, and my wife still brought me some mozzarella sticks. How sweet is that?
Mozzarella sticks? Hey, mozzarella sticks are always great.
About five.
I'll then ask the great man, Anthony Conover. Anthony, looking through all the standings, what teams do you believe have shocked you the most or have disappointed you the most?
I'll start with the East because I think it's easier. I mean, I know Michael said it, but, bro, the over-under for the Knicks was 24. Like, they were supposed to be terrible, as per usual. They're at 38 wins already. We still got some games left, so, I mean – That's a pretty easy surprise. If Thibodeau doesn't win Coach of the Year, I'm a little confused at the NBA. So they're the surprise.
Well, I do think I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but both I can't think their names now. Jazz and Suns head coach, nah, I think.
Bro. Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams?
Listen.
Yes, because Williams, I think, has done really a phenomenal job there. But bro, I'm Knicks with you. I think Thibodeau should be
since, Knicks haven't been relevant since Nam, so I don't want to –
Wow.
And then the surprise, and then the disappointment. Obviously, we said it again. Actually, no, I'll change it up from Boston because I think that's the easy answer. I'm a little disappointed in Washington. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think that's the you know greatest team, but when they got Russ and they had Beal too, I was like, all right, they're gonna be easy playoffs. They're the 9 seed right now, so they're in it technically. They're in the play-in game and all that. But I thought it would be a little bit better. Now, granted, I'll take it with a fine-tooth comb, like I said, though, because they're definitely not the most talented team other than them. But I don't know. I thought in the East, Russ and Beal finally having, you know, another person. Because, I mean, he had John Wall for that a little bit, but I don't think Beal was Beal yet when John Wall was there.
My bad. But they also got to take into consideration that the Wizards were not healthy at the beginning of the season as well. Now they're healthy, and they are kind of – they're doing their shit right now.
Yo, shout out Westbrook, bro. That's MVP. My boy. That's my
no talk, but MVP.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't be mad. That's my boy. And then we'll go over to the West. I'm surprised most by Phoenix, I think. I can kind of understand Utah. They're just a pretty solid team. So I mean, maybe not being the number one seed, but totally shocked. Like I wouldn't go that far. Phoenix, I don't know. I just didn't see it. I guess it's the Chris Paul effect. I mean, everywhere he goes, things just seem to get better. He dragged up my lifeless Thunder to the playoffs last year. And
almost beat Houston in 7, too.
Listen, if it wasn't for that one little stupid play at the end of the game, which I still don't understand who drew that up. But listen, number 2 seed, 48-19 right now, only a game and a half out. Like, I'm surprised. Like, Devin Booker, obviously unbelievable. But with him, Ayton, Chris Paul, I mean, it's been crazy. And I just didn't see that one coming. I really didn't. And then my disappointment, like, you know, listen, we can't really do the Lakers and all that because, you know, the injury, so I'll let them live, even though I would love to see them losing the playing game. God, would I love that. I go with the Pelicans. I don't know if it's because I'm not the biggest NBA fan that I got swept up into the hype maybe, but I just don't think they would be so much better than being a 10 seed right now. They're on the outside looking in for that playing game, or yeah, the 11 seed, I should say. I don't know if I said 10 seed, but Yeah, I'm just surprised. You know, obviously everybody talks about Zion. He's like, he's going to have like the best field goal percentage since like 2000 or something like that. Blah, 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 this, that, and the third. Cool. Get in the playoffs. Like, this is just going to be another Anthony Davis situation where Pelicans not really do anything. Even if they make the playoffs, we got faith that they're winning a first round matchup against a team like Utah, against Phoenix, against the Clippers.
Nope.
I'm good. So, you know, I'm a little disappointed in the Pelicans. You know, Zion, Brandon Ingram. Come on. I was expecting a little more. I'm a little disappointed.
I will say you guys have made great points on surprising teams, whether good or bad. I'll name mine. I'll start off in the Western Conference. I will say my biggest surprise team, in my opinion, has been the Utah Jazz. I knew the Jazz were going to be a playoff contender, but I thought they were going to be, you know, like a fourth or fifth seed, maybe sixth. Just the way how they're playing right now with the best record in the NBA, like one of you guys mentioned, Donovan Mitchell playing out of his mind. I'm completely shocked that the Utah Jazz are this great and this powerful, them being the one seed. And it's huge. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have fans or not. If you're a number one seed in a conference, that's got to be huge for the Utah Jazz. And one of my disappointments, I'll have to agree with you as well, Anthony, in the Western Conference, it has to be the Pelicans. The play-in, the 1 through 10, was clearly set up to get Zion Williamson in.
Literally the only
reason it exists. Same thing with the NBA bubble last year. With the NBA bubble last year, they tried so hard to get Zion in the playoffs, and the Pelicans just gave up. And you look at the Pelicans this year. Now, there's still a slim chance. They're only a game and a half behind San Antonio, but if we're being honest here, I'd rather trust Greg Popovich than Stan Van Gundy as a head coach. And if you look at it, if you're the Pelicans – like Anthony mentioned, I mean, Anthony just woke up and chose to just spit facts. Is Zion Williamson another Anthony Davis situation? You look at Anthony Davis, his first 7 years with the Pelicans, he only made the playoffs twice and only won one playoff series. This is year two of Zion Williamson, and the Pelicans have been very disappointing. They have – the thing with the Pelicans is they have a lot of young talent, but they can't seem to get it together. And – now, whether or not it's because they have Stan Van Gundy as a head coach or not, I mean, you look at Stan Van Gundy, he's had his good moments and his bad moments. We saw how great he was with Orlando, leading Dwight Howard to the NBA Finals. He had his bright moments there. He's also had his disastrous moments, like his stint in Detroit and so far his stint with New Orleans. I mean, the Pelicans are in a situation of what do they want to do? Do they want to trade all in and surround Zion, or do they just want to pedal? Because they're at the pedaling stage. Because if we're being honest here, they're not competing for a championship anytime soon. The teams in the West are too good. Whether it be the Clippers, the Lakers, Denver, whether it's Dallas on the come up, even Phoenix with the Chris Paul effect. You know, it's one of those. The Pelicans have been very disappointing to me because I thought for sure they'd at least be 1 through 10. Now, there's still a chance. It's very slim. There's still a chance for them to get in, but they put themselves in a bad spot. Now, in the Eastern Conference side of things, this may be a hot take. I'm throwing in my big surprise team as the Charlotte Hornets, them being the 8 seed. I am very impressed with what the Charlotte Hornets were able to do, especially with them getting LaMelo Ball. The Hornets at one point, I believe, during the season were like a 5th or a 4th seed. They were competing in the East. And then when LaMelo went down, obviously the Hornets went down. And they're right there at the 8th seed. I am very impressed just because in LaMelo Ball's first year, he seemed to turn the Charlotte Hornets around. Now, granted, it is the Eastern Conference. It's a weaker conference than the West. But I just think overall the Hornets as a whole, they have something brewing with LaMelo Ball. And in my opinion, if it weren't for him getting hurt, he might have won the Rookie of the Year. I think it's going to go to Anthony Edwards, no-brainer. But if LaMelo doesn't get hurt, I felt like he would have been the front runner. And this may be a bold take, but I think how LaMelo Ball is playing right now is what people thought Lonzo would have been when he was on the Lakers. Like when the Lakers drafted Lonzo, we thought we were going to get the package deal. Obviously, LaVar Ball hyping him up. But I think LaMelo's a real deal, and he's been legit so far with the Hornets. I would say with the Knicks, but that's pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, Tibbs has done a phenomenal job in New York. Turned them around, in my opinion, made them more relevant than the Nets. I mean, yeah, Brooklyn's going to be relevant because you have KD, Kyrie, and Harden. But if we're being honest here, New York rides with the Knicks more. Just because the Nets, they've only been in Brooklyn for a short stint. They were the New Jersey Nets, not the Brooklyn Nets. The Knicks are New York's team, and when the Knicks are doing good, it seems like the city's doing better. Now, a team that I'm most disappointed with in the Eastern Conference, as much as we poke fun at the Celtics and stuff, they're one of them. I'm going to go with the Toronto Raptors. The reason why I say the Toronto Raptors is just because I thought Toronto was always a team where, even though they lost Kawhi in the offseason, I always thought they're going to be a team where they're going to be in like the 4-8 range, you know, in that competition. But they have fallen off a cliff to where I think they might be entering towards a rebuild mode. In my opinion, trying to build around Pascal Siakam. Because in my opinion, Kyle Lowry might be out the door
in Toronto. He is out the door after this year. You could stamp that.
All right. That's a bold take from Caleb. Stamp it, Lowry out the door. But I'm just disappointed in the fact of this is the top 10 teams in the NBA, 1-10. You mean to tell me Toronto, who just won a championship 2 years ago, can't get a top 10 seed? I'm just disappointed in the fact they couldn't get a top 10 seed. I felt like they could have been better. You could also make a case as well for Boston as well. Obviously it makes a lot of sense, but you know, it's very disappointing when you have a team like Toronto who just won a championship 2 years ago, and it looks like they're going to be back in the rebuilding phase. And it's just very disappointing to see that. And with our final topic of discussion that we will be entering into, it will be the MLB. And a lot of crazy things have happened so far in the MLB, whether that be no hitters, whether that be teams on a hot streak that we didn't expect, or teams that are slumping at the worst time. Those are going to be the interesting stuff we'll be talking about for the MLB. And I first want to start off with our backstop banner crew, with them discussing the MLB. Let's kind of have a feeling with what they're about to say. And then I'll lead it off with the backstop banner crew. Anthony and Michael, the floor is yours for baseball. Chat away. What do you guys believe is the interesting thing that has happened so far? Whether it be no hitters, teams struggling, teams booming. Floor is yours.
You know, it's been a really weird season, for the simple fact that, you know, you mentioned teams struggling, this and that, and like you think of that and you would assume like, oh yeah, maybe one or two teams struggling here or there. This is the first time in MLB history, I believe it's history, or at least since the live ball era, which is still like the 1800s or like early 1900s, that no team after 30 games is going to have an above 600 winning percentage ever. Like, that's literally never happened before. So it's not like, you know, this one team we thought was going to be good is struggling right now. Like, everybody is not playing well. Like, I don't know if it's the weirdness of last season carrying over to this season, but the MLB is just messed up right now. Standings don't make sense. You got the Red Sox in first place, who everybody thought would be, you know, in last or second to last. I think the team winning the NL East right now is like 500 or below 500. I know they were last week.
When we did the show, they were just at 500, maybe one game over it.
So that's weird. The Dodgers started 13-3, and since then they're like the complete opposite. They don't know how to win a game now. There's been four no hitters, which is the most since it's not since that long. I think it was like 2013 that the last time there was, you know, four no hitters this early in the season. But still, that's crazy. And I mean, usually pitchers are ahead of batters. We see that every year that the batters usually struggle early on, but I feel like this is just next level. The offense really isn't there. You've seen like a few explosions here or there, but I don't know if it's because they finally changed the baseballs up, where, you know, the past few years it was, you know, record-breaking home runs every single year. But yeah, there's more strikeouts now. It's been a really weird year. It's almost making it more intriguing because everything's closer at the moment. I think over the season, everything will pander out, and you know, we'll get We'll get our Dodgers in first. We'll get our Padres in second. Yankees first. We'll get the things like that. But for right now, it's been a really intriguing season, and in just ways that you weren't expecting it. And then, you know, just for players too. I mean, DeGrom is it's incredible to watch. Cole's been crazy right now. I'm kind of blessed to see the two best pitchers in baseball right now be in New York, because I can watch them whenever they're on. I don't have to, you know, try to find a way to do it. You know, annoying with DeGrom right now that he's dealing with some right side tightness. Yeah, so he's been, you know, in and out a little bit. He came out early today, so he obviously hoped the best, because, I mean, he's coasting to another Cy Young right now. And then, you know, obviously being a Yankees fan, this man Stanton doesn't know how to not hit right now. It, like, April 21st, I think he was batting 198. Goes on a 13-game hitting streak. It's, what, May 9th right now? I think he's batting, like, 310. So he's been crazy. I mean, I think he was slugging, like, in the thousands or something like that. He had four home runs and just hitting absolute – and not like, you know, we're typical with Stanton home runs, but he's hitting nukes, like, 100 – like, I think he has 17 balls batted over 115 miles per hour. I think the next closest person to him has, like, five. So, I mean, he's just been unbelievable. Yeah, Dodgers struggling, Yankees struggling, but as a whole season, just super weird, and I can't wait to see how it plays out, though.
Just going to piggyback a little bit on Stanton, because he's on my fantasy team. He was batting like almost 140, maybe even below that early on in the season. He's now at 291, which is good at any time. So, I mean, to raise that average, it's been phenomenal what he's doing. He's got 16 runs, 9 home runs now, 23 RBIs. He's got me 81 points for the whole year. Beginning of the year, I actually was benching him some games, and I thought that would never happen, Stanton being on the bench. But this year has really been, and for me, a lot of fun. I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, so I like the small market teams. And I just went on a Bleacher Report and put in the league standings here, and this is for all the leagues. So in the American League, which is the kind of the more ironic one on this, is Boston Red Sox is number one. You got the Oakland A's is number two. The Chicago White Sox, number three. Indians, number four. Blue Jays, number five. Mariners, number six. And then we'll skip to 17 because it's Astros. Nobody wants to talk about them.
Nobody cares.
So nope. It's these smaller market teams. And I say Boston in this smaller market team because they are a smaller market. It's hard to believe that with Boston, they are a bit of a small, well, for their area. I see Connie, you guys don't
this,
see his face.
This just year, they're a small market, but usually they have a top five payroll.
Right. But what I'm thinking on that, when I'm putting them in there, is when we did our backstop banner panel before the season even kicked off, we're like, the Boston's going to be at like losing 100 games possibly. And here they are, 22-13. With, let's see here, well, I mean, zero games back, doesn't say how big of a lead, sorry. But so, and then Athletics, I kept saying that last year should have been their year, so they have to make that turning point at some point, but their starting pitchers were still struggling. Now, I do recall that I had the White Sox in the World Series because everyone on the panel said it's going to be a Dodgers-Yankees, no matter what, Dodgers-Yankees. I was like, guys, there's no way that it's going to work out that perfectly. We got to put some other teams. So I put the White Sox and I think the Braves, which the Braves have been struggling. So the reason I think it's crazy is to look at this. Right now, Boston is 22-13. So if you add those up, that is 40-some games. We're almost – I'm sorry, 35 games. We're past halfway of what last year would have been. So this is – on the downhill last year's season, if we would be looking at these teams, like that's how crazy it is. But I think with the extended season or the regular season, things will start playing out how it should go. But what's crazy right now is, Matt, and I know you're going to love this, is that the Dodgers have lost 5 consecutive series. And this is the first time they've done it since August 2017. I love that. Sorry, Bauer. I miss you. I miss you, Bauer. Shout out, Bauer. Come on the show.
Go ahead, Wes.
We have been looking bad though. I don't love it, but I mean, it's like we'll lose a game in extra innings one night, and the next night we'll go out and score 14 runs, which I just don't understand. I mean, they'll do it in the game. We've already lost the series, but they'll go out the last game and score 14, 15 runs and win that game. We'll lose the whole series because they just choke in the games that, you know, the close games. I don't understand it.
Yeah, those are...
You guys have kind of switched places with the Reds. Like, that's what we always do. Like, we'll lead the game up to the seventh inning and bring in a reliever and then blow it, which still happens. And then, like, the next game, we'll score, like, 30 runs in a game. And they're like, why in the world did this just happen?
Roberts, we can be winning 5-0. Pitcher gives up two runs, but he's on a roll. He just gives up two runs in, like, the seventh or eighth inning, like you said. Then he puts in a reliever. It's like, we're still winning. Why take him out? He's on a roll. He's going to give up a run or two.
Analytics, baby. Little,
you're going to give up a run. You're not going to – everybody doesn't pitch a shutout every game.
Oh, no. But it doesn't matter. Analytics rule everything. You're not –
the
you're
robots.
Not, you're not seeing a pitcher face the lineup three times unless, you know, they're that top end, you know, Garrett Cole, Jacob DeGrom type person.
Unless they're getting like a no-hitter or something that's a big deal. They're not going to, as soon as they give up a run, they take up.
I mean, that's the thing, too. That's what, me and Michael have talked about all the time. That's what kills baseball for a lot of the, you know, not the super fans.
Okay.
You're not losing me. You know, I've watched baseball my entire life. I played it a little bit. I obviously suck. That's why I talk about it now instead of playing it. But, I mean, you're not losing me. You're losing the person who's, you know, maybe I can watch something else tonight. And you can blame that on 162 games and maybe that it doesn't keep your attention because there's no urgency like the NFL with only the 16, this, that, and third. A perfect example. And you know, there's just no energy shown in baseball either. We just posted a video on the Baseball USN Twitter account. Make sure you go follow that as well. This kid hits a home run and just bat flips, run, you know, screaming, running around the bases, this, that, or whatever. And I saw somebody else quote that video and was like, it's a shame we never, you know, taught kids how to act like they've been there before, blah, blah, blah. I literally quoted his tweet and said, shut your old ass up. Because that's what these people have to do is, bro, like, that's what's entertaining. You want to know why the NFL and the NBA are so entertaining, too? It's because they score a touchdown. They're out here doing fucking dance moves. They're looking like a team from, oh, gosh, I can't remember. What was that show on MTV? America's Next Dance Crew. Next Top Dance Crew or something like that. Fantastic show back in the day. But... They're looking like a team from that, or, you know, the NBA, you got Steph Curry doing his little stupid shimmies all the time after a three. It's things that we can replicate as normal people when we do something like that. But, you know, Fernando Tatis bat flips it and hits a grand slam when his team's winning and he has to come out the next day and apologize. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, really?
Right.
Those are all great takes there. I want to go back to you, Wesley. What has been, in a way, kind of your most shocking thing that has happened so far, whether that be no hitters that have happened or just overall teams that have either surprised you or disappointed you as well? I know how disappointed the Dodgers have been so far, but are there any other teams that have either surprised you by playing unexpectedly well or teams that you thought were going to do good so far up to this point that have just been utterly disappointing?
I think I can say Boston has surprised me in the first quarter. What would this be, the quarter? It's not the first half because we still got a long way to go. So I'd say the first quarter of the season Boston has. I didn't expect Boston to be where they were at. I didn't expect the Red Sox to
honestly,
be.
Honestly, that's – they're 22-13.
Like, you got,
no, they have the best record in all of baseball, Boston Red Sox.
Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, here's my thing. There's two divisions that make sense right now. Only two. And I'll go with the Central because the White Sox are winning it right now, and I think that's what happens. And then the East, I guess, because the Mets are winning it and Braves are in second, or no, and Phillies in second, followed by the Braves. And, like, I can understand that. The West, there's no reason the Giants. The West, oh, yeah, the NL Central, too, because I had the Cardinals winning that division. Mm-hmm. But the West, the Giants are winning it, really? The Giants are the Giants are supposed to lose like 80 games this season, 90 games this season.
They're back in a rebuilding stage.
The West, the A's are 21-15. They won like a 13-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the East with Boston being in first place. Like,
that was surprising.
None of this makes sense. Like, this is the weirdest season ever.
It definitely has been. And I'll add on points to Dennis. Like, I understand it. It's May 9th. Now, people are saying, like, oh, you know, like, all these teams are going out of their minds. The Angels are the worst team in the AL West. You know, you got the Minnesota Twins are 12-20. You got the Dodgers are just imploding left and right. Somehow, some way, the Nationals are in the worst place than the Marlins. But the thing people have to recognize is it's May 9th. This isn't September 9th. This isn't September 20th. This is early in the season, and these are the crazy shenanigans that you get in May. You get teams that are no hit. You get four no hitters. You have Wade Miley, who's on the Cincinnati Reds, get a no hitter. Who would have ever thought?
Yes, sir.
Who would have ever thought Wade Miley? Raise your hand if you would have thought before the season started Wade Miley would throw a no hitter for the Cincinnati Reds. It's crickets because no.
You want to know why? You want to know why too? Especially Wade Miley. You know what his career record is?
What's his career record?
He's 89-87. Like, he's not even that good.
No. I have to defend him. This is like his second year, first full year with the Reds. He used to pitch for Houston Astros when they were in the NL Central, and he was dominant back then. But the team was not very good. Like, he was a good pitcher for Houston back in the day in the late 90s, early 2000s, probably more 2000s, I guess. He was a good pitcher. He just never really had much of a team support with that. Now, I'm not trying to say Nono would have definitely been in that repertoire of a career at all, but Wade is a good pitcher, but he's like 36. So, I mean, he's definitely past his prime.
Michael, you're losing me here, by the way.
Well, it's because we're talking Reds and not Yankees.
No, because he has a career 4 ERA.
Well, I mean, now what team doesn't give up 4 runs?
Michael, all right, well, here we go. 2011, 4.5. And then 2014, 4.3, 4.4, 5.3 in 2016, 5.6 in 2017.
Well, maybe he just dominated the Reds because I always hated facing him. Like, he would strike us out like crazy.
It's not hard to do that against the Reds, though, you know?
You're right.
Man, the Reds are getting hammered hard. But one thing I will say to any Dodger fans that are listening to this episode, don't panic. It's May 9th. I understand we're 18-17. I understand we're in third place in the NLS somehow, some way. And this is also a message to you, Wes, as well. There's no need to worry. Our bullpen has been very injured. Now, granted, there are some boneheaded decisions that I have seen out of Dave Roberts, but we should be accustomed to this. He's been doing this for years. I remember game one of the World Series, Rich Hill was dealing, and he pulls him out. There's no way we're beating Boston that year, but we would have won game four and forced a game six if we're being honest here. But
we would have beat the Astros if he would have put Kershaw in. Kershaw should have started game seven, but that's a whole other issue.
Yes.
That's just because they're cheaters. Fernando would have started game seven. By the way, I would like to shout out all my Yankee fans out there and New York in general for the fact that we know how to be petty and know how to be assholes correctly. Like, we know how to be assholes correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
That fuck Altuve chant was solid.
Oh, fuck Altuve chants every game.
Didn't they also say fuck your birthday?
Every game. Yes, that's what I was getting to. On his birthday, on this man's birthday, we had the audacity to chant fuck your birthday. I've never loved being a New Yorker more in my life, ever.
Hey, all I got to say is in New York, you don't mess around. But I will say, I feel like the Dodgers will find their groove. I mean, once McKinstry gets healthy, once Belly Balm comes back and is swinging dingers, once Mookie Betts returns to MVP form, once our bullpen gets healthy, we'll be fine. I mean, we were 13-3, what was it, like 4 weeks ago? We were cruising. We were like the Lakers. The Lakers before LeBron and Anthony Davis got hurt were top three in the West, chilling on a way to repeat.
Yeah.
Injuries hindered them, and they've fallen. But don't worry,
so dominant. Yeah.
We'll get back up, and you know that's just the thing about baseball, man. That's, in my opinion, that's the beauty of 162 games. When you're a playoff team, when you're the Yankees, when you're the Dodgers, maybe Cincinnati, maybe. But it's a long shot, but maybe.
Let's just be honest.
No? Okay. Well, whenever you're a team that's competing for the playoffs, and when there's a 162-game season, you can afford to have a bad slump. Now, if this were a 60-game season, I'd be pressing the panic button right away. Why are we 18-17 through 35 games in a 60-game season? But it's not 60 games. It's 162. So you can afford to have a bad month. Just get it out of the way in April and May. Now, if there's a slump like this in August and September, there's a panic button that's being pressed, because if there's one thing that matters whenever you're a playoff team, Yankee fans and Dodger fans can agree, it's how you perform in October. The Dodgers, before they won the World Series last year, they were known as the playoff chokers. They'd win the division 7 straight years, and they couldn't get the job done. Whether it be getting our asses handed to by the Cardinals 2 consecutive years, whether it's the Mets and Daniel fucking Murphy, whether it's the Cubs going on a Cinderella run, whether it's losing 2 straight World Series, or somehow getting our asses kicked by the Nationals.
The Phillies.
Even the Phillies as well. I mean, it's one of those where how you perform in October is where it really matters. It's the same thing with the Yankees. The Yankees, they can afford to have their slump in April and May. They can afford to have Giancarlo Stanton not hit well during this time frame. But when it comes to postseason time, they have to get the job done. And it's the same thing whenever big teams pay for big market players. When the Dodgers go out and get players like Mookie Betts and Trevor Bauer, you got to get the job done. Obviously, we got the job done getting Mookie Betts last year. But when you bring in Bauer, you got to get the job done. Same thing with Anthony's Yankees and Gerrit Cole. When you sign superstars, you have to get the job done. It's that simple. You have to make it to the World Series.
We don't do participation trophies.
But those are the certain things that playoff teams have to focus on. April and May in baseball, you get the cool stories. You get, say, the Oakland Athletics 13 straight wins. You get Boston being in first place 22-13. Is when it gets down to crunch time. When you get down to that late August, early September, that's where you get to see the big boys separate from the little boys. That's where you see teams like the Dodgers with their pedigree take off to another level. Teams like the Yankees take off to another level. And then you see teams like maybe Chicago, maybe Milwaukee kind of fizzle off a little bit, where they're kind of on the up and up and just fizzle out because they just run out of gas. You know, this is a point to where around April, May, you love to see the moments. You love to see no hitters. You love to see guys like Wade Miley, who may have a career average of a 4 ERA, who may not be good, but you love to see him at least get a no hitter. You love to see, and you even love to see, remember the first week when the Red Sox got swept by the Orioles? Like that's the stuff you love to see early in the season. Like the Boston Red Sox getting swept.
This is how I knew the season didn't make sense. Ready? This is how the AL East started out. So the Orioles sweep the Red Sox. Then the Red Sox swept the Rays. And then I think the Rays took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. But then the Yankees swept the Orioles. Not if it made sense. Literally didn't make sense. But hey, that's the beauty of baseball, baby.
It definitely is the beauty of baseball. Whenever Caleb gets back onto screen, I'll ask him some topics about baseball related. And I believe he is back. Caleb, what has been, in a way, your big surprise so far this baseball season? Like, any teams that have surpassed your expectations, or any teams that you look at and just simply say, what are they doing? When are they going to kick it in gear?
I gotta thank all three of our guests. They supplied me with a lot of game today. And I'm gonna be honest. I've watched absolutely 1% of baseball, and that's only the Dodgers. So that question, I'm gonna have to maybe you might want to throw that to somebody else. Because all I know is the Dodgers, and the Dodgers aren't doing good right now.
Well, how about this?
The Reds are good.
Related to the Dodgers, how do you think, Caleb, the Dodgers can get better? What has to change for them to turn around back to their winning ways?
Keep playing.
It's like, you know what? You're not even wrong.
160 games. It's okay. Everybody has slumps. Every team is going to go through a slump. Eventually, I mean, I'm assuming every team in baseball goes through a slump. So keep playing, and they'll be fine. The Dodgers are the defending champs. We'll be fine.
Hell yeah,
it happens.
We're the defending champs, and nobody gonna take our ring away from us. Ain't that right, Wes? And nobody taking that ring away.
No, nobody's taking that from us.
If nobody took the Astros rings away, they ain't taking the rings away.
Exactly.
But if there is one thing, one baseball related thing that we can all agree on.
Fuck the Astros.
Absolutely. The Angels shouldn't release Pujols. Oh.
Let's get into that. Our last baseball topic discussion. Angels releasing Albert Pujols. I'll start off first, if that's okay with you guys. I think the Astros done did him dirty. You're disrespecting a future first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best first basemen of all time. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to simply cut him? No. First of all, the Angels made a mistake signing him in the first place. We're being honest here. Pujols was out of his – what was up there in age. Angels decided to give him 10 years, $240 million. That is a bad contract itself. But you have to treat him with some respect and some dignity. If you're not going to utilize Pujols, At least trade him to another team. Send him somewhere where he wants to be. Don't just simply cut him for being a liability, which he is, but that's what happens when you get up there in age. When you get up there in age, it's not really the same. So I feel like the Astros did him dirty. I feel like they should have treated him with more class, just have it be his final swan song and let it be that. I'll then throw the same question out to Michael, who brought up the point. Michael, you've also stated that the Angels disrespected Pujols. Give me some points on why.
Well, Pujols is an icon on and off of the field. The man is just a true gentleman. The different charities that he does and fundraisers that he works off the field, phenomenal kind of guy. What he's done for the sport by himself back from 2001 to, I want to say, like 2011, I think it's 10 years that he was with the Cardinals, he averaged basically over 300 batting average. Yes, it fell off when he went to the Angels. The Angels paid him a huge salary. But we don't treat a guy like this. And me and Connie talked about this, I think, a little bit on the show. Actually, Connie wasn't on the show. I'm sorry. You had other arrangements. But I talked about this with my guests on the show. Pujols, I think, is the kind of guy that you I don't want to say you put on the pedestal, basically. It's almost like the Colby curtains where wherever he goes, you're going to say, hey, this is it. Here's a pair of cleats, you know, here's the keys to his cities. Like, that's the sign off, the farewell that this guy needs or deserves for sure. But in my mind, I kind of think for them to release him like this, I would think, and I pray this happened, that the Angels went up to him and said, Albert, thank you for everything you did for us. We're in a state now where we have to move on. We are going to release you, but first we want to let you know on this. So if you want to retire, you can go out that way. And I only can think that Albert said, I've still got some gas in the tank. I don't want to go out this way of being cut. I want to finish the whole season and then I'll retire. Just drop me and let me control my own fate and go to a team that I pick. That's the only thing
that did happen. Because I think I heard that
Oh, there's been some reports come out today that Pujols was just apparently aggravated with Madden's managerial, whatever.
Well, I heard that they like kind of told him like, bro, you're gonna be a bench guy now, and he was like, just release me then. So,
well, batting 189, what do you expect? You know, so I feel like there's a couple teams that he's looking at. Everyone thinks the Cardinals, so he can go out that way. I don't think he goes back to the Cardinals. There's no way that Albert Pujols is going to be a first baseman. He is an AL only team. So, and of course, I've seen reports where they said Cincinnati Reds, because Joey Votto just broke a finger, he's going to be out for a few weeks. Let Albert Pujols play. No, that's not what we're going to do.
Albert Pujols can't play the field.
Yeah, so I think the White Sox would be a good team for him. Not that he's going in there to be an everyday player, but he's going in there just to say, yes, a reunion back there. Hey, let's put this together one more time. Let's sail off to the sunset together, because La Russa is like 95 years old. But he could be
also didn't know that you were allowed to pinch hit your pitcher.
But I feel like White Sox would be a good fit for him, just because he can be that veteran in the dugout or in the locker room as well, and just kind of say, hey, this is what it takes. I understand, let's have fun, but let's straighten up. This is how we need to act. I also think the Blue Jays would be a good team for him, just because the team that they are and the leadership that he can have. Half the players on there, he played with their dads. So, I mean, that would be a great team. I think that would be a good fit for him.
Definitely will be. I'll then ask that same question to you, Anthony. Do you believe the Angels done did Pujols disrespect?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, maybe not absolutely. It's hard. Because if he did want to be released, then they didn't disrespect him. But if this isn't what he wanted, and he wanted, you know, kind of – like, he deserved, even if he was bad – I don't care if he was bad in 50. If he's just one of the people that should be able to retire on his own shield, as you know, some people would say. So, definitely did him a little dirty. Interested to see what happens with him, because I think we can all agree that he has to go to an AL team. There's no way he can play the field anymore. He would just be an even bigger liability than he might be already. So it has to be an AL team. Michael, I know you mentioned the White Sox, but I've already heard things that they're not interested in him, believe it or not. I didn't like catch an exact reason why, but apparently they aren't. I thought that would have been a perfect landing spot. If Luke Voit wasn't coming back for the Yankees, like in tomorrow, probably, I wouldn't have put it past the Yankees to just do it for the hell of it. But yeah, I don't know where he's going to end up going. I wish in a way that the NL had a DH, which it should anyway, because then he could have that little farewell reunion tour with the Cardinals maybe and ride off into the sunset. But this is just kind of the cautionary tale, giving out 10-year contracts to players, especially when Pujols got his. I think he was already like,
he was like 31, 32.
I think he was 32 when he got his, because he'll be 42 at the end of the contract. Like, you paid knowing that the last 5 years were not going to be good. Like, look at Miggy, too. Like, Miguel Cabrera, he's awful. Like, terrible. He has 4 years left on a contract. 4 years.
Like, he's got four more years after this?
Yeah. He has 4 years after this, and he is terrible. I watched him in the Yankee Tiger series. Didn't even get a hit. Didn't get a hit. Miguel Cabrera won a triple crown.
Yeah, he did. He did win a triple crown. I do remember seeing that. Wasn't that? I hate to peel it back as a Yankees fan. Wasn't that the same series? Like, Jeter got hurt and he was never the same. That Yankees Tigers ALCS.
Who was that?
No, the Yankees Tigers ALCS. Was that the same series where Jeter got hurt?
Yeah, he broke his ankle.
And he was never the same. I wouldn't say the
never the same thing because of the ankle. I would say it was because he was still getting older.
Accelerated the process. And one last thing to close out this episode, I'll throw it out to Caleb. With the recent release of Albert Pujols, knowing that Albert Pujols is a first ballot Hall of Famer, do you believe the Angels disrespected him?
No. No, it's a business. It's a business. And if he's as horrible as my guys say he is, it's a business. It happens, you know? I don't know if he still has longevity to play even longer in MLB, but I mean, it's a business, and he didn't even start with the Angels anyway. He started with the Cardinals. I remember that. So, nah, they're good.
Great, great points there. And I will close it out with our special guest and Wesley. Wesley, do you believe the Angels disrespected Albert Pujols by cutting him this far into the season?
Like, I'm going to agree with Michael on that one. It depends on how they did it. If they offered him retirement or offered it to make it look like they weren't cutting him, he was just retiring, then no. But if they just cut him, yeah. It's like you said, it's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't do that to a first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't just cut a first ballot Hall of Famer like that. Like, he's just, you know, like, he just sucks. He might not be good now. He's like, he's in his 40s. So, of course, he's not going to be what he was 10, 15 years ago. But he's still Albert Pujols. You don't just cut him like that. So, yeah, I think if they didn't give him the option to retire, yeah, they didn't hurt.
Yeah, they definitely did. We'll see what happens here. We'll see what kind of team Albert Pujols will be assigned to or go to in the offseason. And with that being said, that will conclude episode 52 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I want to thank all of our guests for being able to be on, from Backstop Banner, Anthony and Michael. I appreciate you guys being able to join us this podcast. I also want to thank Wesley for being able to join on this fantastic episode 52 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. This is Matt Skura. We got my co-host Caleb Conant. We are signing out.